It's great to have excitement in the house of God. Amen? Amen. All right. Oh, good to see you, Tony. Praise the Lord, everybody. Wow, what a blessing. I don't need this. That was already done. Well, God bless everybody. It's an honor and privilege to be here this morning. It really is. Boy, you can feel the excitement in the house, too. It's exciting to be in the house of God, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen. We're so privileged in this country that we can come and gather in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I got to say, those songs were incredible. I mean, you got some beautiful praise and worship leaders here. Amen. Give them a hand because they really deserve it. And I want to mention one thing. The dear lady was playing the piano before the music other group came up. Reminded me of so much when I used to be in a church in Holly, New York. My first, well, really was my dad's church. It was Assembly of God Church, and the pastor's wife, she played the piano. See, all they did was sing the hymns. Those hymns are beautiful. Let me tell you, those hymns are anointed. Amen? And it's so good to be able to come to a church where you can hear the hymns, because a lot of times the hymns have been kind of like discarded. Oh, that's old-fashioned. No, the hymns are some of the most beautiful songs there are. That's why they still last today, like God's word. They're anointed. But nothing, the other songs were anointed and they were beautiful. I even told Pastor Dominic, amen, about those. I said, did you write those songs? He goes, no, Randy. If I wrote them, I probably would be a millionaire, whatever. But anyways, enough of that. But again and again, yeah. But I'm so honored to be here. Every time I come here, it's such a blessing. I love coming here. When Pastor Dominic had asked me to come here about a month and a half ago, I said, wow, okay. I mean, I'm just honored when he asked me to come here because that last song was my testimony. God came to me in the night, in deep darkness, and brought me out into a glorious light. Amen? Amen. But all of us should have that testimony. But anyways, I just want to thank Pastor Dominic, the elders of the church, for having me come and to hear the Word of God, because that's what we're going to talk about. Pastor Dominic said, you're studying the Psalms, so he asked me to pick a Psalm. So I did. I believe and I asked God to share a Psalm with me. And also, I just want to introduce, I have four different people here that came from the ministry, Rescue Revival Ministries, Camry, Christ Center May Reach You, and also the Lamb City Church. So they wanted to come and partake too, because our church is closed. Also, I have another brother back there, too. Sorry, he just popped up right at the end. Because our pastor, what happened, he goes to Prattsburg for a big family reunion, and I thought he was coming back Sunday, but then he told me, Rain, I'm not coming back Sunday. I said, oh, no, I promised to go to Pastor Dominic's church, and I really want to go. So he said, well, we'll just close the church. So we did. So we're a small city church, so we can do that, and people understand. Amen? But again, it's really great to be here and have all of you here today, too. So I want to be talking about the Psalms. I love the Psalms. When I first came back to the Lord in 2017, the Lord began to deal with me, and he began to tell me to go into the Psalms. Now, I'm not boasting, but I've read the Psalms numerous times. I read the Psalms for 2 years. Every single morning, I read the Psalms. That's the only book I read was the Psalms. And I learned so much from the Psalms, because who's better to learn from than King David, right? I mean, who else can we really learn from except Jesus Christ? But King David's right in there too. So I love the Psalms. The Psalms taught me a lot of things. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, where do you want me to minister? And I really believe he brought me to Psalm 18. Psalm 18 is a powerful psalm. Well, all the psalms are, but Psalm 18 is a psalm, if for you that may not know, and you Bible theologians out there, I know there's some out there, so I got to really be careful. That's why I like coming to this church, because it challenges me to really study. But I discovered that Psalm 18 is a psalm of great victory. Psalm 18 is the psalm where God had given David victory over all his enemies. Psalm 18 is so full of so many different things. So for me to explain it to you would do it unjustly. So I have a commentator here that I'm going to read that will really, I think he'll expound it a lot better than I can. And then we're going to look at a few scriptures that the Lord laid on my heart to share with you in the book of Psalms. So Psalm 18, I'm just going to read right now what the commentator says, because I really like the way he writes. He says this Psalm is a royal song, of thanksgiving to the rehearses God's deliverance of David from all his enemies. That's what the psalm's about. It appears to be a popular version of the song in 2 Samuel 22. You can look that later, 2 Samuel 22. This psalm includes a declaration of David's love and trust in the Lord. I love that. Because all through the Psalms, you will see how David trusted the Lord and how he loved the Lord and how he could reach out and touch God. Amen? And it goes on. It's a narrative of his deliverance by the Lord, an explanation of how God helps the righteous, a reminder that David's military might comes from the Lord. See, David's victories did not come from David, did not come from his great army. And he had many, many people in his military that were very powerful. Many of them did supernatural things. But it all came from the Lord. And David recognized that. Also, it says, and a concluding thanksgiving for God's deliverance. The psalm depicts the power of prayer. God acts as a warrior on God's behalf in response to his cry for help. That's powerful. God will come to our defense when we trust him, when we cry out to him. And David learned that. David learned that through many, many things that he went through. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. The description of the Lord's intervention given in verse 7 through 19 is an example or theopathy in which there is a visible demonstration of God's presence and power as he comes down to the earth to reveal himself and to intervene in judgment against his enemies. Amen. That's Psalms. That's the sweet Psalms. That's the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that David learned. We all know that David was an arch enemy against King Saul. Amen. King Saul hated David. He was jealous of David. He used to sing the song, Saul's killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. And when they heard that, it pricked Saul's heart. And from that time on, he plotted to kill David. And we know how David was chased and hunted in the wilderness and all the things that happened to David. But David learned some things. You see, church, this is what I'm going to share with you. In our trials and our tribulations and our hard times is when we learn how to trust the Lord. You see, if everything goes easy and calm and relaxed in life, it's good to have peace. Now, I ain't lying to you. Because there's a lot of turmoil, and there's a lot of evil, and a lot of wickedness in the world today. But God will use the things of the world. God will use crises and different situations in our life to teach us how to trust him more, how to be drawn closer to him. David learned that to the point where God says, David is a man after my own heart. Oh, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you, I would love to be remembered when I go to be with the Lord, if the Lord tarries, we don't go in the rapture, that I would be a man that was after God's own heart. Wouldn't you want that reputation? God gave David that for all eternity. It's in his word that David was a man after his own heart because David knew how to touch God. But how did David learn it? He learned it by so many trials. He learned it by so many tests. David was a forgotten son. Even Jesse, when Samuel went to Jesse, what did he do? He says, I want to see all your sons, bring them. And they brought them all, but none of them was to be anointed king, but David. Where was David? He didn't even bring David. David was out in the fields, tending the sheep. Pastor Dominic always says this, Randy, you'll know a true shepherd when you smell the sheep on him. Woo! And I smell the sheep on Pastor Dominic. Amen? Because he cares deeply about you. He loves you. And he guards you. And he guards the word. And when I was with him going to Africa and every place I traveled, he guarded us. He protected us. That's why I said he's the only man I would ever go around the world with. No one else. Amen. But David was out tending the sheep, church. And his own dad didn't even bring him in. Samuel says, wait a minute. You got any other sons here? Yeah, there's my son David, tending the sheep. Bring him here. David was the one that God was looking for. David was the one who God was seeking out and said, he's a man after my own heart. Why? Because you got to understand, David, when he was out in the sheepfold, he had wars, but nobody seen him. He conquered the bear. He killed the bear. He killed the lion in private, only God, because God gave him that power. There's a great lesson in that, church. You know what the lesson is? Pastor Dominic said this a lot to me. Until you have great victory out in the public, you got to have great victory in the private places. Amen. In your home, where the doors are closed, where there's no cameras, nobody's looking, nobody's around, just God and you. That's where the real battle begins. That's where real victory is conquered. And that's what the Lord's been sharing with me for a while. Son, if you want to do what I have for you and be what I want you to be, you got to conquer things in the private, in the home, where no one sees, no one knows. David did. David did. They had no clue that David did those things. But God did. Because David was a humble man. He was a very humble man. So we see in the Psalms, there's so much to learn from David. As I said, I love the Psalms. I was in the Psalms for a long time, and then God says, now I want you to read my whole word. So I begin to read the Old Testament and New Testament. And I always call myself the least of the saints. I've been now with the Lord going on 9 years, and I love God's word. It's the only thing that keeps me alive. It's the only thing that gives me victory. It's the only thing that will give us the victory we have to have every day. Without the word of God, you can't survive. Can't survive just on a Sunday sermon or a Wednesday teaching. There's nothing wrong with those, proper and decent. But we got to get in the word every day. Amen? That's something I learned. That's something that God put in me because I said, Lord, what's going to be different this time? I come back to you now. What's going to be different? Because I backslid so many times. I ran from the call of God. I never wanted to preach. I never wanted to do any of this stuff. But God said, fall in love with my word. Fall in love with my word. Fall in love with my word. And I'll put great men around you. And he did. The first one was Pastor Dominic. 2018, he called me. And we met. And we've been together ever since. Amen. So here we see in Psalm, verse 27 of Psalm 18. If you have the word, let's read this together. Psalm 18, verse 27. This is David speaking on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, for you will save the humble people. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. You will save the humble people, but you will bring down the haughty looks. Wow. Do we see today so much pride, so much haughtiness, so much people thinking they can do whatever they want to do, that there's no consequences, they can shake their fists in the eyes of God? The Bible says that God resists the proud. Resist them. It's nothing to do with them. They're way over there someplace. His grace is there, his love and mercy. But his blessings and all that he has is not there. But look what he says. But will bring down, for he will save the humble people, bring down the haughty looks. The humble. David was a humble man of God. All through the Psalms, you see where David, many times David had chances to kill Saul. One time he actually went right into the cave where Saul was sleeping. King Saul was sleeping. And his own men wanted him to kill him. Kill him, David. David says, no, I can't. I can't harm God's anointed. He's God's anointed. That's how humble David was. He could have killed him and ended it. But he said, no. And he even cut off part of his robe. And then he even told Saul. You know the story. I hope you do. It's in there. And what did this lesson learn? That David humbled himself under the mighty hand of God. And the Bible says in James that if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God in due season, right, Tom? He will exalt you. And you want to tell nobody. They'll see it in you, young people. They'll see it in you. They'll see something different about you. They'll see the light of God on you. They'll see the presence of God in your life. They'll see the boldness of Jesus in your life. I'm reading Acts, and I'm learning about the boldness of the disciples. What a difference with Peter in the book of Acts. Wow. Because I'm a lot like Peter. I put my foot in my mouth. I get humbled all day because I say things to people I shouldn't say. I get, you know, I'm out there in the streets. I deal with a lot of different spirits. And there's times where I'm not all that holy out there. Not that I'm sinning, but I get angry. I get a little upset. God has to humble me because I got to go back to the people and say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. I didn't mean to. Humbleness will exalt you, not pride. Pride will destroy you. Pride will keep everything out of our life that God wants us to have. Even Satan learned that. You know why Satan hates us so much, church? I heard this a while ago and I loved it. You know why he hates us? Not only because we're created in God's image, because we can find forgiveness with Christ. We can get forgiveness. We can get restoration. We can be restored. But Satan can never be forgiven. He can never be restored. He can never have restoration. That's why he hates us and all the demons that fell with him. Because he knows he does not have the privilege that we have as sinners fall from grace. We can come to grace. We can come to the throne room anytime we choose, right, Tom? And the Bible says, come to the throne room of grace in the time of need and help. So we have that privilege, and he doesn't. And that's one reason he hates the church. So pride will destroy you. We see pride today. They just celebrated pride in my city in Rochester yesterday, Pride Month. Prancing. I didn't go to it. I didn't even watch the TV, the news, nothing. I planned on doing an outreach, but it didn't work out. I just stayed home, and I let them do what they did. But it was horrible. All over the country, pride, celebrating an identity that is a lie from hell. It really is. And it's so sad. So many people are caught up in that deception. So many young people, even. I see young people in the city dressed as girls, and they're boys. Beautiful girls dressed as boys. That's what we have. And they celebrate it. Pride in the eyes of God. But one day, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? So we see in verse 23, he says, David learned, he says, for you will light my lamp, and the God, and the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. I love that. The Lord is our light. He will light our lamp. The emphasis, what God is saying here, is that God has power to transform every difficult situation in our life, Tracy. Every difficult situation. There's nothing that could come into our life, church, that we're his children, we're in his grace and in the palm of his hand. Nothing that he cannot turn around for his good, for our good, excuse me, and his glory. Nothing. That's what David learned. David learned that because David was hunted down, living in caves, rejected by everybody, rejected by his own people, rejected by friends. They betrayed him and turned against him. But David learned that God, in time, could turn all that around and set him on the throne as the king of all Israel. It took 20-something years for him to get there. Because God's not in a hurry. That's something I had to learn. God's not in a hurry. He takes his time. Especially when we want him to hurry up. Oh, put the brakes on, son, daughter. Don't rush me. Because in rushing, you mess up. So we see here that the emphasis of the light can transform any difficult situation in our life. Anything. Many times God allows difficult situations to come in our life to show us his transforming power. Since I've been with the Lord, I've gone through some pretty hard things. I mean, I went through one thing that I thought was going to destroy my life. I didn't think I was going to make it back. But God, and I even said this, Lord, how did you do that? How did you turn something so horrible and so wrong and so messed up? How did you turn it around for my good and your glory? Because he's God. Because nothing's too hard for the Lord. Nothing's too difficult for the Lord, church. Don't ever think that. Don't ever think what you're going through. Don't ever think what's going on in your life. Don't ever think that your children or whatever and your loved ones can't come to Christ. They can. You just got to believe. And God has many ways to bring them. I always tell people God has a whale for everybody. We're all Jonas. God has a whale for them. God has a whale for my two sons. I don't know what it's going to be. But God can transform every situation in our life. Darkness often symbolizes in the word chaos, fear, or spiritual confusion. So David was saying here, God, you're my light. You're my lamp to my life. You're a light to my path, a lamp unto my feet. You guide and direct me. So darkness and confusion and chaos and fear should not be a part of our life, church. There's enough of it out there. We see it every day out there. Oh, my gosh. I'm asking the Lord sometimes, Lord, what is happening? But we're reminded in the Word where he told in Timothy or Thessalonians, what did he say? He said that we were living in perilous times, the last days, perilous times. We're in those days, church. We're in the perilous times. And the perilous means danger, threatened, even death. I don't say this to put fear in nobody, but never think for a moment that we are not subject to something happening tragic in our life. We are. It happened to the disciples. They were murdered for their faith. But God, through trust and through hope, he can turn the situation around in our life. Chaos and fear. We're not to have fear, church. Don't be fearful of what's going on in the world today. Jesus clearly said in Matthew 24, he said, these things must happen. They must happen. Everything that we see going on in the world, it must happen. Because there's a bigger reason. God has a bigger reason for what we can understand and see today. He really does. We just have to trust him. That's why it says, the just shall live by faith. Amen? By faith. Not by getting all the answers, not by understanding everything, but by faith. Believing. I'm teaching on the book of Revelation in the city, and I tell everybody, I said, listen, if you're going to believe the Bible, you got to believe every bit of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation and all in between. You can't pick and choose scriptures. We must believe the entire Word of God. Verse 49, he says, for by you I can run through any troop, against any troop. I love that. David learned that no matter what army, no matter what defense of the enemy that came at him, through God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he could go against any troop. Isn't that beautiful? Guess what? We too, as believers, we too can go against anything the Satan puts in our life, any temptation, anything that comes at us, we too can run through just as David did. Not because of us, but because of Christ that is in us, the hope of glory. Because of greater is he that's in us, the Holy Spirit. So we too can run through any troop. We too can run through any thing that the enemy would try to bring in our life. David learned that. And we too can learn that. We too can do that. Church, young people, you can do it. You can be what God wants you to be in your age. I was 12 years old when I came to the Lord in a boys' home. I got radically saved, but I ended up falling. Years later, I fell. But God has always been there in my life. And he's always brought me back. Now I'm 64. And I love it. I love my life today. Is it easy? No. But I know that God can take me through whatever the devil or anybody brings in my life. Amen. You too. David learned that he could go through any troop. He could go through anything. It goes on, but by God, I can leap over a wall. I love that. In other words, David's saying, not only can I go through any troop or any army defense or anything that the enemy brings at me, I can, through God, I can conquer any wall. Because back then, you know, they used to build walls or ladders, and they would climb over them and get into the city. A lot of times they would have sand or dirt or whatever to run up. I mean, they used all these different things to conquer these walls. Only God builds walls, church. And his walls are walls of salvation, walls of healing, walls of deliverance. Today, many people have walls in their life. I had many walls in my life, walls of insecurity. I had walls of fear and doubt, walls of shame and regret. I had walls to protect me from the past hurts and the past things that happened in my life as a child and growing up as a man and all the things that I did. These walls were protecting me. But in all reality, they weren't protecting me at all. They were keeping me from allowing God to fully come into my life. And that's when the Lord shared with me, I have to break those walls down. And today, if you're here this morning and you got walls in your life that you've built because of past hurts, past regrets, whatever happened to you as a child growing up or whatever, insecurity, those walls God can tear down. You can conquer those walls just as David conquered the walls to the enemy's camp and conquered them. You too can conquer into the enemy's camp in your own heart, in your own life. And defeat those things that maybe, just maybe, you've been hanging on to for years. When I came back to the Lord in 2017, I was in a place called the Upper Room. It was a crack-infested house for years until God transformed it by his power. I don't even know how he transformed, but he did. And I lived there for another 5 years in that place. And during that time, I used to call it the Upper Room because I had a lot of experiences with the Lord up there. And the Lord shared something with me about that. He said, son, if you really want what I want, you've got to allow me to tear down the walls of forgiveness, unforgiveness in your heart. I grew up hating my mom. She left me when I was a little boy. For years, I used her as an excuse to do the things I did. And God said, son, that's wrong. You got to forgive her. Lord, she's dead. She's gone. I never even knew her. Forgive her. And Lord took me through a process to forgive her. And then God revealed to me other things in my life that I had anger and resentment against, and I had to learn how to forgive. Those were walls that I had built in my life that were keeping God from coming fully into my life. So I wanted what God wanted for me this time. Because when I came to him at 56, I was completely done. I tell people it was like a puddle of water. I really was. There was nothing left. Nothing. No fight. Nothing. Just. So I allowed God to take me through that process. And I forgave my mother. I love my mother, though I never knew her. And I pray she's in heaven. But I can honestly say that. And this is something the Lord revealed to me. I don't know how much more time I got. Okay. Something the Lord revealed this to me about this. When you really know you forgive somebody, church, this is how you'll know. When their name or their face or anything to do with them comes up and you have no resentment, amen. You have no anger, amen. You have no hostility or anything toward them, then you know you've truly forgiven them. Because for years, every time I'd see that, my mom, I'd see somebody with a mom getting Mother's Day. Mother's Day to me was horrible. I couldn't. Mother's Day was a very hard day, but today I can celebrate Mother's Day. I celebrate Mother's Day. I don't have a mother, but I have godly mothers. Amen. That's how you know you forgive somebody, is when you truly, truly have no ill feelings toward that person. Then you know you have truly forgiven. So you can conquer these walls. Verse 30, for as for God, his way is perfect. I love that. And the word of the Lord is proven. Amen. His ways are perfect. A lot of times I said, Lord, what are you doing? Why you got me doing this? Why you got, what's going on? But his ways are perfect. I had no clue, but God did. His word is flawless. There's no mistakes. There's no contradictions. I hate when I hear on social media these people out there saying, oh, the word is contradicting this and this and that. They got to study the word to show themselves approved unto God, not man. It's flawless. It's perfect. It's holy. It's righteous. It's pure. It's been tested from time after time after time, century upon century. I posted today on Facebook, a lot of things have been destroyed through history and through time, but God's word has never been destroyed, nor will ever be destroyed. It has tested the time of life, of centuries. Persecution. They tried to burn it. They tried to destroy it, but it kept coming back and coming back. And today, it is still the number one best-selling book in the world, the Bible. Still is. Amen? It's flawless. It's been tested. Here we go. I'm almost done. He is a shield to all who trust him. He's a shield. Now, a shield is essential. It was an armor for warriors back in the days when David, because back then they used to fight real people, church, right? So they would have a shield, and that shield would protect them from arrows and swords and knives and clubs. They were pretty violent back then, man. Can you imagine some of the things they used? I've seen some of the weapons that they had. Horrible. But it was a shield that protected them. And guess what? Our God is a shield for us. He protects us from the fiery darts of the wicked one, from the attacks of the enemy, from the onslaughts that he comes in our mind. Here's one. Has anybody ever prayed and all of a sudden these curse words or words that you know are negative come in your mind? Has anything ever happened to anybody? Well, God bless you. It has me. And I have to cast those evil imaginations down. The Bible says anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, the word of God, anything of God, we're to catch it and cast it down and bring it into the obedience of Christ. What's that? The obedience of God's word. I'm no longer a loser. I'm no longer that person I was out there. I'm a child of God. Amen? I'm a man of God. You're a woman of God. You're more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ Jesus. Amen? You're a conqueror. God has you written down in his book. Hallelujah. My name is in the book of life. We've been granted salvation. When all those negative thoughts come at you, that's what you do. You bring it into the word. You cast it into the word. Because the word is the only thing that can destroy that negativity. That's why a lot of Christians, I hate to say this, I'm not picking on nobody, but a lot of Christians suffer from depression, anxiety. They suffer from all these different things and are on all these medications. And I try to tell people, listen, the only pill I take is the gospel. You're looking at a man, before I came to Christ, I was on every anti-psychotic medicine you could think of. Medicine to go to sleep, medicine to go through the day, medicine to get up, medicine. I mean, it was crazy. I was walking around like a... I mean, a lot of my friends just said, Randy, you're on stop. I know. Amen. But when I came to Christ, hallelujah, he delivered me. He said, son, you don't need that medicine no more. Throw it away. And I did. I haven't taken it in almost nine years. Nothing. Amen. They told me I was schizophrenic. Yeah. They told me I was schizophrenic. I was bipolar, H-A-D-D. All this stuff. And guess what? Through Christ, through word of God, and pressing on and believing God, today I no longer hear voice. The only voice I hear now is the Holy Spirit. Amen. The only voice I hear now is the word of God. Amen. I don't hear those voices I used to hear when I was out there in the streets living like an animal. I don't hear that no more. And then God called me to the ministry. He says, now, son, you're going to be a minister. And that still blows me away today. When people call me a minister or pastor, I'm like, wow. It just blows me away. But that's the goodness of God. Never think you're ever too far gone, that God can't change your situation and change your life and make you into what he died for you to be, rose for you to be, and ascended in heaven and is on the right hand of the throne of God and all power, all authority for you and I to be all that God wants us to be. Amen. 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 Praise God. Thank you so much. I pray I've encouraged you. I pray that you've been challenged. And I pray most of all, we all get drawn more closer to the Lord. Amen? With the amen, they're coming up.